God is good all the time. Praise God. If God is good, that first song that Mindy was saying, He should be transforming our life. If we are letting Him in, I'm telling you, He does a work that should blow our minds. Because we should be better. We should be closer. We should be more loving today than when we were when we first accepted Him into our hearts. So praise God. I just love to hear testimonies and things that God is doing. And I've watched in the back air and see people worshiping God. And it just, I could just imagine God's smile on His face when He sees people worshiping with all their hearts. So praise God. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. A few announcements today. Women's ministry next Sunday after the service. If you can bring a covered dish and enjoy, I got a hand raised. Go ahead. Okay. Update. This coming Tuesday, or the following, the 12th. Tuesday on the 12th of April is the women's ministry meeting is going to be moved to, not next Sunday. Okay? They still bring a covered dish? Yeah. Hey, fun food and fellowship. It is great. I know yesterday with the men's ministry, we had a blast. It was a blessing. So praise God. It moved to the 12th. 7 o'clock? 7 p.m. Okay. Workday coming up, April 9th. We need help. I just encourage you that call this their church. I encourage you just come out and participate in helping us get the work that is necessarily needed to be done around this church. And if you know today that you're going to be working here and specifically outside, Steve would like to have a 5, maybe 10 minute at the most meeting, because we're trying to delegate the different projects we want to get done outside. If you would like to work outside, I know women do most of the cleaning and stuff that is need it in this church. We just ask your blessing to be a part of that meeting after service today. It's only going to be 5 or 10 minutes, Steve said. Also, Easter, April 17th, coming up. Just want to remind you, we have a sunrise service down here at the park by the pavilion at 7 a.m. Following that, 8 o'clock, we're going to have a breakfast over here in the fellowship hall. And then at 9:30, we're having a special Resurrection Sunday service. So who knows what God has in store for that day to celebrate the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. So praise God. Also, men's ministry here, April 23rd. We're going to be having fishing for kids. Those that have children and don't mind them doing some fishing, we encourage you to bring them out or get in touch with one of the men, me or Ishatu, and we'll help you get things organized if you want your kids to participate in that. It's going to be a great time. It's for kids. It's for kids. So, fathers, I know we just love, when we get the fishing in our blood, we want to catch them. But it's here to promote it for the kids so they can just have an enjoyable time. It's a father's child time, mostly. Women, if you want to come, you can. Feel free. You are welcome. It's more of a family event, but we encourage you to come on out. It's going to be a great time. Last but not least, I was told that we have 39 jars of applesauce yet for sale. It was over 200 that we sold, and we're just looking if anybody is interested in purchasing any, see Ashley Bayabill. She'll be glad to help you out. With that, let's give our pastor a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you, and we praise you, and we thank you for this day. Lord God, we pray that you will touch each and every one here. Lord, we ask you to move in hearts and lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would touch, help, Lord God, touch, minister, Lord, the people right now. Father, we think of the ones that are listening by phone and live stream. Lord, we pray that you will just bless and touch each and every one. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. We thank you for it. Father, we come to you in that precious name. We thank you that you are all that was said, Lord, you are. And Father, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We magnify your name. And Father, we pray right now that you'll have your way in this service. Lord, we come right now and we pray, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus we pray it all. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. Want us to look at who is Jesus. Matthew 16, starting with verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He says to them, "But who say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? In chemistry, he turned the water into wine. In biology, he was born without the normal conception. In physics, he disapproved the law of gravity when he ascended into heaven. In economics, he disapproved the law of diminishing return by feeding 5,000 men with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick and blind without administering a single dose of drugs. In history, he's the beginning and he's the end. In government, he said that he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Jesus had no servants, yet they called him master. Had no degree, yet they called him teacher. Had no medicines, yet they called him healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won a military battle, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, but they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Christianity centers in a person. And that person, of course, is Jesus Christ. Have you ever noticed that certain people stir up heated discussion? Have you ever noticed that? Let me give you an illustration. They like the contention. Debate, argument, and controversy. Let me give you an illustration. There was a pastor who would come to a meeting every month, and he'd talk about his church. What was wrong with it, put down the people, just constantly he was being negative. Just negative. Now, I remember one time I came home from this meeting and I was telling Rhonda about it. And I said, that guy is not happy until he is fighting with one of his church people. It's just not happy. Who do you suppose is the most controversial figure in human history? Let me give you a little hint. In the New Testament, my Bible has red letters. Who do you think is the most controversial person in history? Jesus. We understand that. We see that because if you want to spark a real conversation or a controversial dialogue in an unchristian environment, just ask two questions. Who is Jesus Christ? And number two, what is your opinion about Jesus Christ? Who is he and what's your opinion about him? That will take a real good debate. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, Solomon says that there is nothing new under the sun. And the controversy surrounding Jesus is nothing new. This here up here, you hear that? Can we get this straightened out? Now, see, I'm not talking. It's straightened out. It just seemed like it was popping. What? They didn't have batteries in it. I had to go get batteries. Now they don't have the pop screen. Ready? Yes. Yes, I was. But that was a few years ago. It is not the product of modern day science or religion. It is not the result of modern or postmodern thought. It is not due to new discoveries or more keen, bright minds. Jesus has always been at the center of controversy. He has. He has been there. We see it. Even when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he was the source of controversy. Everything Jesus said about himself was positive, yet not prideful. He kept it close touch with his Heavenly Father. He believed in himself. He lived with internal control rather than being governed by outside forces. He was constantly in an attitude of celebration. He didn't waste time or energy judging people. Not at all. He was passionately committed to his cause. He asked for noble things. He lived boldly. He lived one step, one day at a time. So, let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Jesus was quite aware of the controversy that was surrounding him. He knew that. Once, while he was in Caesarea Philippi, he engaged the disciples in a conversation about public opinion, as well as their personal opinions about who he was. Now, it was during this dialogue that Peter made his famous confession, followed by Jesus' affirmation, followed by Jesus' declaration. And from this incident, we gain great insight into the person of Jesus Christ. In those verses, I'm going to look at three things. In Matthew 16, 13, we want to look that Jesus is fully man. Jesus uses the title, Son of Man, for himself. It was the most common distinguishing name, title that Jesus used for himself during his earthly ministry. Wow. It is found some 80 times in the New Testament. The term Son of Man focuses, of course, on Jesus' humanity. You see, because the quality or the state of being human, as we understand it, Jesus is fully human. Now, that is where the liberals have a little bit of problem. They have a problem there, and they like to stop right there. But do you know what? The Bible does not stop right there. The clear teaching of Scripture is that not only is Jesus fully human, He is also fully God. Now, if that don't blow your mind, you're on the right track. Matthew 16:16-17, Jesus is fully God. You see, the title, Son of God, is used more than 50 times in the New Testament. So what does this title, Son of God, tell us about Jesus? What does it? Well, I believe that what it believed about himself, the Moody Handbook of Theology says this: a son is of the same nature and essence as a father, in affirming Jesus as his son. You see, God the Father was saying that Jesus, which is his son, is deity because he is of the same character and nature as the Father. Wow. Thank the Lord. The Apostle John, he affirms that the term Son of God is a declaration of his deity in 1 John chapter 5. There was a man called, you might remember him, he was a general, his name was Napoleon. He said this of Jesus. He says, I know men, and Jesus Christ is more than a man. Wow. Jesus is the promised Messiah in Matthew 16:16. You see, the title Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew title Messiah. The Greek term Christo means anointed, or it means the anointed one. Notice that Peter said, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a definite article there. He says to Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the anointed one. You are the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament who would come to the nation Israel. In knowing who Jesus is, I want us to ask the question to ourselves. I want to ask that, and that is, can I be better than I am? How many times, or how many of us, are perfectly happy with the way that we are now? Let's go on to the next question. That didn't go too good. How many of us feel that we are the best person we will ever be? How many of us feel that we have learned all we will ever learn, that we have accomplished and all we will ever accomplish? This is all good. It's a good thing. And that we have reached our full potential. Have we? Now, how many of us think we could perhaps stand some improvement? How many think that we could change? Oh, I was a little weaker, but... how many of us think that we can change some things about ourselves that we are not happy with, and that we might become more godlike? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He said in Colossians 1:15, the Son is the exact reproduction of the Father. The exact. You see, in Jesus, God dwells. As in no other who has ever lived upon this earth. In Jesus, the divine nature could be clearly seen. Theodore Parker, he said this. He said, in him, in Jesus, the godlike and the human met and embraced, and a divine life was born. In him, as a mirror, we may see the image of God. Eric Russ said this. He stated, in Christ, we also see ourselves as God intended us to be. And by his grace, we are being conformed more and more to that image which God originally intended for us. Wow. So, let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus? Chuck Swindoll said this. He said, Jesus is God's Lamb, the Son of God. He didn't come to be packaged and offered for half price when if you could hurry, you could go get him. That's not at all. He came as very God. And the world in its tinsel and tarnish has just about ruined the picture. Hello. As in the days of Rome, our God is not panicked over the scenes of America. He is not panicking over the scene of what's taking place in this world. Not at all. I'm so glad. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says this, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. As one man paraphrased it, he said this, and God has chosen the Lamb of Mary to bring to nothing the authority of Rome. Things haven't changed much, have they? Not at all. Every Christmas season, the significant seems to get lost among the insignificant. Our world continues to be caught in the web of insignificant things like ideas, opinions, and business, the profit and the loss issues of life as we understand it. Has there been a time in your personal life, my personal life, that when you have asked Jesus Christ to occupy your heart, as he once occupied that little manger? Does he have first place in our life? So let me ask you a question. So who is Jesus? The Son of God who died for you. The one who paid the price for your sin. The one who was raised from the dead. And the one who is living. So let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus? He's a life changer. It is his business to change lives. That's his business. He changed a wayward woman in John 4. He changed a blind beggar in John 9. He changed a doubting disciple in John 20. So let me ask you a question. I think you've heard it before. And who is Jesus? In the Gospels, we see he lived among us. He found God in life. He made love a true option. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. He cleansed the temple. He stood trial 4 times. He forgave his enemies. He suffered and died. He lives eternally. So let me ask you a question. Who is Jesus? In Matthew 16, verses 13 to 16, Peter was there with his answer. And he got it right that day. Peter passed the test. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So let me ask you a question. who is Jesus. In closing, to the artist, he is the one altogether lovely. To the architect, he is the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he is the son of righteousness. To the baker, he's the living bread. To the banker, he is the hidden treasure. To the biologist, he is the life. To the carpenter, he is the sure foundation. To the doctor, he is the great physician. To the educator, he is the great teacher. To the farmer, he is the sower and the lord of the harvest. To the florist, he's the lily of the valley. To the horticulture, he is the true vine. To the judge, he is the righteous one. To the jeweler, he is the true witness. To the editor, he is the good tidings of great joy. To the philosopher, he is wisdom. To the printer, he is truth. So who is Jesus? So who is Jesus? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we come to you in that precious name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are all this that we talked about. And Lord, Jesus, you're more than a swear word. You are the precious Son of God. Father, I pray right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, that you would touch our hearts. Lord, that you would change us. Lord, that we will be different the way we go out of this building than when we came. And I ask, Heavenly Father, right now, that you will touch hearts. Minister to them, Lord, we pray. Help them, Lord God, we ask. And we give you the praise. And with every head bowed and eye closed, Jesus went to the cross, and he died on that cross for our sins, that we may have and serve him and have eternal life. With every head bowed and eye closed, I ask you tonight, today, this morning, if you're that one that needs Christ in your life, you say, Pastor, I did that a long time ago, but I've turned my back on God, but I want to make it right. Okay. Every head bowed, if you're that person that says, I need Jesus more than ever before, I need him. I need him. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put them down, then. Anyone else? I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I want you to pray this prayer. You raised your hand. I want you to pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. I admit that I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart. I pray. And I thank you for eternal life. I thank you. I'm born again. And I'm ready to meet you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I thank you for these ones that raised their hands. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they're honest before you. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would touch them. Ruthie, could you come and play something? And as she comes, I want you to. I want you to be praying. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray that God would minister to us. We're not going to close this service, but if you need a healing touch, if you need Jesus to touch you, whatever it may be, might be physically, might be financially, might be spiritually, I want you to come. The guys will come. They'll pray for you. They're going to lay hands upon you. They're going to anoint you with oil. And the scripture tells us that the prayer of faith will save you. We'll heal. It's nothing in what we can do. It's not what this here, this oil does. It's what Jesus does. And if we truly believe ourselves and believe what we have heard this morning of who Jesus is, I believe he's going to do a work if we allow him to. If you're that person, the person, we want to pray for you right now. We want to pray for you if you would come. Thank you.